the mind of Christ. Tony Campolo tells a story about an inner city Bowery mission that ministered to the folks who walked the streets, the poor and the impoverished, the homeless and the drunk, and tells a particular story about a man named Joe who gained a reputation as being chief among the winos and drunks on the streets. Many people considered him to be hopeless, for whom there was no destiny, no fate. There was nothing to do for him as he walked the streets of the ghetto night in and night out. One night at the mission, Joe found himself inside the mission, listening to a preacher's message about a man named Jesus Christ and what Jesus had done for people like Joe. It was that very night that Joe gave himself over to Jesus Christ and launched a brand new life, a life of new hope, a life of newness, of being a new creation. It was that night that Joe the drunk became Joe the Christian. And boy, what a life Joe started to live after that. He took seriously the call of God upon his life to live as Jesus Christ lived, to have a completely changed life, to be caring and loving. And after a few short weeks, the reputation of Joe among the people in the mission changed dramatically. He was no longer someone who had no hope, someone that you could do nothing for. But Joe became one of the most caring and loving people that the people at the mission had ever known. He was humble. He was a servant. He was obedient. He did everything that the mission asked him to do, from the great and especially the small. When someone needed to clean up the vomit on the floor from a devastatingly ill alcoholic, Joe was right there with mop and with bucket to clean it up. And when some of the careless men had left the bathrooms in disarray, it was Joe right there cleaning up the toilets, cleaning up and doing everything, nothing considered beneath him. Joe did exactly what was asked of him with a soft smile, an encouraging word, and it was incredible to see that this same man just a few months ago had been walking the streets with no hope. People wondered about how dramatic a change happened in Joe. One evening, during an evangelistic mission, the preacher was giving an altar call and asking folks to come forward and give their lives over to Christ. And on that particular night, another man came up. Clothes were tattered and torn. He looked like he had just come off the streets, but he was in tears. He was crying because he wanted hope and he wanted life. And he came to that altar rail, screaming and shouting, crying out to God with a simple request. His prayer was, "Oh God, make me like Joe. Make me like Joe." In between sobs and tears, "Make me like Joe," so that everyone in the mission could hear him. The preacher took a moment and said out loud to the fellow at the altar rail, he said, "Son, I think it would be better if you prayed, 'Make me like Jesus,' instead of 'Make me like Joe.'" And here's the clincher of the story. That old man at the altar rail asked the preacher out loud for everyone to hear, "Well, is this Jesus anything like Joe? Have you ever been confused with Christ? Has anyone ever mistaken you for being Jesus Christ?" That's the question. Has your life ever fully embodied the Messiah to where people see you and see Jesus Christ through you? It is absolutely true that there is no clearer, better way of communicating the love of the gospel than with your actions and with your deeds. There is no better way to show someone God's love than by assuming the loving humility of Christ in the whirlwind of your lives, whether it be at home or at school or whatever problems you face. When you demonstrate loving humility to someone else, they can truly see God's love better than any evangelistic technique or any outreach program. Your life and your actions show Christ much more vividly than anything else. Some have put it this way. Have you ever heard the phrase, you might be the only Christ that someone ever meets? That's a popular phrase. You might be the only Jesus that someone ever meets. There's another phrase, another popular phrase, coined by Ethel Tinklenburg of Minnesota, who read In His Steps by Charles Sheldon and started to communicate a simple phrase through the wristbands, through the bracelets that you see on teenagers all across the country now, the simple letters WWJD. Another phrase puts it this way, what would Jesus do in your life? You may be the only Christ that someone ever sees. What would Jesus do in your situation? Paul puts it this way. Paul says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. What a remarkable phrase. It says essentially the same thing, that we are to be like Christ, but he puts it in a strange way. Let Christ's mind be in you. What does that mean? What does it mean to have Christ's mind? Does it mean that we are to be as smart as God? That we are to have as full wisdom and understanding about the mysteries of God as Jesus did? You know, in the time of Paul, the mind was an ideal thing. To have a strong mind meant that you were capable, intellectual, you were wise, you went through the academy, you had achieved a certain status in the community because of how smart you are. And for Paul to say to the church in Philippians that you must have the same mind as Christ might have been interpreted as, well, we have to be as smart as God. We have to have the same knowledge as God. Is that what it means? I would suggest to you that that's not what it means. And if you want proof, you can turn to the book of Genesis, to a lush garden and two folks, Adam and Eve, who took a bite of the fruit thinking that they were to be as smart as God, and that began the fall. Now, I think that what it means to have the mind of Christ is something a little bit different. In the original Greek, the word for mind also means sensitivity, feelings, sympathy, interest. Let the sympathy of Christ be in you. Let the interests of Christ be in you. Let the things that pulled and tugged at the heart of Jesus tug at yours too. Let the things and the concerns that moved Christ's gut with a gut-wrenching feeling wrench yours too. Mind doesn't mean intellect here, but it means sensitivity. Be sensitive to the things that were sensitive to Jesus. Let the things that moved him move you as well. Scripture says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not equate equality with God something to be exploited. But he emptied himself, he took the form of a slave, the form of human likeness, and he became obedient. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, death on the cross. Why did Jesus do this for us? To show us who God is. There's another word in this verse that catches my attention. It catches my attention because it's a word that we often overlook. It's a simple word. The word is though. Though Christ was God, he emptied himself and became obedient like a human. As if to say that Jesus' divinity was something that he had to cover up. Even though he was God, he had to put that aside. He had to pretend that he wasn't God in order to become a human. That's what that verse suggests to me. But it's interesting that that word though could also be translated as because. Because Christ was God, he humbled himself and revealed himself as a human. Because Christ was loving like God, Christ couldn't leave us alone and became equal to us as human beings. This better gets to the heart of the matter. Christ's divinity was not something he wanted to ignore, but something he wanted to celebrate, something he wanted to show and reveal. Because he was God, he became humble. And that's the question for us. Because we are children of God, because we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, then we must become humble. Humility is something that is terribly misinterpreted nowadays. We think of humility as looking very poorly on ourselves, as thinking of ourselves as dirt, as slime, as looking at others as much better than us, to the point where we don't think of ourselves very highly, don't see ourselves the way God sees us, as children of God, as having the image of God within us. And so, when we look at humility, we need to celebrate God's divinity within us that comes to us through Jesus Christ. I like to look at it this way. Humility in the original Latin, I'm throwing out a lot of Latin and Greek words to you, but humility in the original Latin comes from humus, which means dirt. It means soil. It means earth. And often we look at that as meaning, well, to be humble, we need to look at ourselves as dirt, as earth. But how about if we look at it this way? How about if we look at humility as being grounded, as being both of our feet touching the ground, not somewhere up here, but touching the earth, connected to all of God's creation, looking with humble eyes towards someone else because we are connected to them, because we are all connected to God's creation and God's community. I think that's what it means to be humble. It means, first of all, becoming sensitive to the things that were sensitive to Jesus Christ. All of the hurts and the concerns of people around us are concerns of ours too. But it also means to be grounded, to not see ourselves as more highly than anything else in the world, but as equal with other people. And it also means to be Christ for someone else. To think of that beautiful gift within us, the image of God within us, as not something that we need to cover up or ignore, but to celebrate and to share and to reveal with other people. Your actions should always be, whatever your actions are, should always be God revealed, not God concealed. And if you do these things, you will have the mind of Christ, and you will grow more into the image of Jesus. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, amen.